is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know whether the quiz show A Question of Sport is still on. I do remember it. I think it was sort of round about sort of tea time or back in the day during the week. And one of the questions they had was a segment of film, and they would stop it of a sporting event. And the question was, what happened next? So you had to kind of work it out if you didn't know. It was usually a pretty obscure event. I always said it would be a dog on the pitch. You know, dog. It was occasionally, but not often. With Jesus's disciples, his followers, in the upper room, and we're still in the upper room, although we're a week later, we're still in the upper room on that evening of that momentous day, that first Easter day, with the disciples in that room, possibly the same room where the Last Supper took place. We're in a what happened next moment. What will happen next? Jesus in the midst of his disciples. And when you stop and think about it, they are those who denied him, deserted him. Those who doubted him, misunderstood him, misinterpreted him. Those who were sometimes in conflict with him as he ministered to them and to others. Jesus comes into that upper room. And he does so not by human ways and means. There are no flashes, no bangs, no wallops, none of that. Jesus can and does find a way into that upper room. And he can and does find a way into closed human minds and locked human hearts. He can find a way into the situation that the disciples find themselves in. And there he is. What will happen next? What will happen next? And what is happening is that the ultimate power over sin and death is now expressing itself, not in vengeance, not in retribution, not in more death and destruction, not in domination, but in forgiveness, reconciliation, in an equipping and a commissioning, a divine gift for an earthly task. I don't think the disciples were expecting that. They weren't expecting that in their fear and uncertainty, in the midst of rumour, in the midst of speculation. They weren't expecting that. But here is Jesus in their midst. Here is Jesus walking into a new world. A new world that is in the midst of the old world. The old order of sin and brokenness, the old order of domination and power, of ruthlessness. And here is Jesus overcoming those things and creating a new world. And there is a continuity between Jesus, who was put to death on the cross, and the risen Christ who stands in their midst. Thomas, the disciple, doubting Thomas, as we would call him, realizes that. He understands that continuity. He wants to see it, to experience it for himself. Unless I see the marks, Unless I place my hand in his side, I will not believe. And there's something authentic about that. He will accept nothing less. He is accepting that Jesus died that terrible death. That the worst that can happen did happen on Good Friday. No denial of that. But those things are absorbed, transformed, made new, made different. And I think Jesus respects Thomas. He respects his doubts, as we would call them. He does not condemn. Thomas wants proof. And Jesus provides it. Jesus meets Thomas exactly where he is. And he shows him. Invites him to understand in terms that Thomas can understand, in his own terms. Here I am, Jesus says. Reach out. Touch me. Place your hands. Do what you need to do. But Thomas doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to reach out and touch. What he sees is enough. What he does need to do is to make an astonishing proclamation. My Lord and my God. For someone of the Jewish faith, for someone who was observant, a keeper of the law, from birth imbued with the law, saturated in the law with an understanding that you do not, under any circumstances, associate anything in this world with God himself. And yet here he is doing it. My Lord and my God. This is proof of the new world. The new world that we entered into on Easter morning. A new world that takes the old world and turns it upside down, or perhaps more rightly puts it the right way up. A new world that gives a different meaning to history, a different meaning to faith, a different meaning to who we think we are and who we think God is. And we are included in this. We are recipients of that blessing. Jesus makes it very clear. Happy are those, blessed are those who believe, yet they have not seen. It's for us. We share that promise. We share in those good things. What do we share in? We share in the presence of the risen Christ, who comes and stands among us today. He stands in the midst of our fears, our uncertainties, our doubts, our brokenness. And he stands in the midst of the brokenness of the world. And he has taken that brokenness. He has taken sin and death. He has taken hatred and division, all the things that mar our lives and sometimes sadly fill our lives. And he has taken them to himself. And he has transformed them. And he stands and offers his peace. And peace can so often be the absence of things, isn't it? If the racket would just stop, I can have a little peace. If I wasn't so busy, I could have a little peace. If this would stop. But shalom is more than the absence. It's the presence. It's the presence of God Himself, of blessing, of wholeness, of restoration. All that we would wish for ourselves, for the ones we love, for the world, for creation, all that we would wish, and all that we dare not wish, and that which is beyond our imagination. That's what Jesus brings. He stands in front of his disciples in a moment that he could have lorded it over them, literally, in human terms. He stands in the midst of his disciples and offers them peace. And he offers himself as well, their spirit. We have a little Pentecost, don't we? A little Pentecost in camera, in private. But it is still real and valid. Here's Jesus breathing his spirit into his disciples, breathing his spirit literally into his church, offering the church the powerful things of forgiveness, the keys of the kingdom, we might put it, are given there. And we'll explore that more as we go on through the Easter story, as we come to Pentecost, that great explosion, the public launch of the church. What Jesus does, he gives himself personally and intimately. And he gives himself in the power that has overcome sin and death. We might talk about it as being a soft power. That's the modern terms, isn't it? But it's a hard power, a realistic power, and a transforming power. It comes to us personally and intimately. It comes to us where we are. And it is for us to share, to bring to others, to acknowledge with others, and to stand in their brokenness and in the brokenness of the world, and to say that those things are real and painful, but more real and more healing and reconciling is the presence of the risen Christ for us all, each one of us, wherever we are. Amen.